We've said here before that there are two halves of life. The first half is a building up, and the second half is a falling down. In the first half of life, we learn how to dress ourselves. We learn to educate ourselves. We go to school. We develop relationships. We develop independence. We get married. We raise children. And all of this is a kind of a building up of who I am as a person, and it has a lot to do with my identity. But then in the second half of life, and this is the good half, that's when we discover that all of that didn't really matter. It doesn't mean anything. Not that it was a waste of time, because you have to do a good job with the first half of life in order to really get into the second half, which is the falling. The letting go of all that, and recognizing that really I'm a child of God and that is my identity. Not all these other things, what I have accomplished, they're meaningless. Now the Gospel of Mark, and this is the reason I bring this up again today, the Gospel of Mark is divided into two sections, and what we read today is the right in the middle. This is the middle of Mark's Gospel, which is Mark's way of saying, don't miss this because this is key. And this is when Jesus changes. Everything before that in Mark's gospel is a building up of Jesus. It's his building of a reputation of a miracle worker, a healer, one who speaks with authority, one who draws large crowds, 5,000 out there on the mountainside. But now, once Peter is able to say for the disciples and for us, you are the Christ, we get it. Then Jesus starts falling down. He starts on his journey to Jerusalem to die. And he predicts that. And he tells his disciples, the Son of Man must suffer at the hands of the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders, be put to death, and rise again 3 days later. And Peter rebukes him. Now, isn't Peter great? He says wonderful things, and then right afterwards he sticks his foot right in his mouth. Peter stands for the church, you know, he stands for us. And we get it right sometimes, but much of the time we get it wrong too. And so Peter is able, through grace, to say, you are the Christ. But he's also human, and he rebukes Jesus for talking about dying. For 2,000 years, Christians have struggled with this truth. We've bristled against it. We've tried to deny it. We've tried to push it away. No, I don't want to hear about death. I don't want to hear about losing and suffering and being the last and the least. But we've heard this all our lives, haven't we? The paradox of Christian life is that the only way to gain your life is to lose your life. The only way to be first is to be last. The only way to rise is to die. Now, it's interesting that Jesus says this in the context of calling himself the Son of Man. Now, Son of Man is one of the titles that Jesus accepts for himself. He never wants to talk too much about Messiah, but he calls himself the Son of Man. Now, that is a messianic title that comes from the book of Daniel. And what it really means in English is the human being. So Jesus understands himself as the human being, not just a human being, but the human being. He is humanity par excellence. If you want to see what the fullness of humanity looks like, it looks like Jesus. If you want to see what God looks like in a human body, it looks like Jesus. He is the God-man. He is that perfect combination of the fullness of divinity and the fullness of humanity in one body, in one person. But he's telling us that's our destiny too. God in the Trinity is all about dying. Each of the three persons is dying for the other two. and receiving that same self-offering back. That's what love is. That's what God is. God is love. Jesus is what that looks like when one of those persons of the Trinity takes on a human body. And he shows us not only who God is, but he shows us who we are. And we are the dying ones. We are the losers. We are the ones who have learned to let go of our everything we've built up, to let go of our superiority over others, to let go of all the various things that would, in this worldly sense, make us feel significant, and falling. But one author calls it falling upward, because this is where we really rise. It's not really a falling down. And Jesus, no matter how much he dreaded the cross, and in the agony in the garden, he begs the Father to let that suffering pass him by. But deep down in his being, he knows that this is who he is. This is why he came. And deep down, no matter how much we like to deny it, we know that this is who we are too. This is why every Sunday we gather around an altar of sacrifice. Because this is about sacrifice. It's about learning how to die. Because you can't learn how to live, really live, until you've learned how to die. This is the church, the body of Christ. This is how we embody this. This is how we put, it's incorporation. This is how we put flesh onto what Jesus taught us. And it's the challenge for every one of us to live that out in our human bodies. Here, sacramentally, we gather around the altar and we do this in a ritual form. But out there, we do it in a bodily form, in a real form. Now, that second reading from the Apostle James says it very clearly. What good is faith without works? What good is it if I believe everything and I ignore your needs? We've had some very concrete examples of that in the last few weeks because of the flood here in Manhattan. And we've seen an outpouring from this parish, but really from the whole community, supplying that need. But, you know, everybody gathers around a tragedy. And that's fairly easy because it just seems natural. But on a regular basis, on a daily basis, there are all kinds of needs that we don't pay attention to, and that we don't want to be bothered with. And sometimes it's right in our own family. You know, the big floods and the big catastrophes, in some ways those are the easy ones. The tough ones are listening to somebody who's in pain, remembering my own griefs and sufferings and losses, so that when somebody tells me what's going on in their life, I'm not acting like everything is fine. I'm nodding. You know, you really get consoled by another person when you're telling the toughest thing that you're going through and they're nodding, which is their way of saying, been there. I know exactly what you're feeling because I've had something very similar to that myself. This is ministry. This is sharing the suffering of the body of Christ, remembering my own so that I can minister to another. This is becoming Christ. And we've all done that and we've all experienced that. The way you rise from your deaths is together. Dying happens alone. Resurrection happens in communion. Jesus dies on the cross alone. He feels abandoned even by the Father. My God, why have you abandoned me? Shocking thing for Jesus to say. But when he rises with the Father and the Spirit. He's back in communion with the Trinity. Trinity. And he invites everyone to rise with him. Share in my resurrection. Share in my glory. This is your destiny too, to be one with the Father and the Spirit. In me and through me, it is possible for you to live the divine life now in a human body. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, consubstantial with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, and by the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary, and became man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate, he suffered death and was buried, and rose again on the third day, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. I confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Today is Catechetical Sunday, and one of the things we do here in this parish is every year we bless those who are willing to be catechists for our young and old. And so those of you who are committed to being a catechist, a youth minister, or teacher in a Catholic school, or any of those kinds of things, I invite you to please come forward for a blessing.